the musical and theatre podcast, brought to you by Theatre Tokens. Give the gift of theatre. Theatre Tokens make a great present for any occasion. They can be used at more than 240 theatres nationwide, including all of London's West End. From Les Mis to Kinky Boots and from The Mousetrap to The Lion King, you can see them all using Theatre Tokens. For your chance to win £500 worth of Theatre Tokens, go to magic.co.uk.
Hello, I'm Alice Arnold, and today on the Musicals and Theatre podcast, I'm going to be talking to Julian Bird, and we're going to do a post-analysis of the Olivier Awards. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre podcast. We're going to have a little bit of a debrief in this podcast. I've got Julian Bird in the studio with me, the executive producer of the Olivier Awards. And, Julian, it was a fantastic... Now, I had a fantastic time. I was doing the commentary for Magic Radio with Ruthie Henschel, and we had an absolute ball. But, of course, we were down in the basement of the Albert Hall. We weren't actually in the Albert Hall. So what was your highlight of the evening, do you think?
I think the inevitable highlight, this might sound, you would say, I'd say this, is kind of seeing the entire thing coming together. You know, there's around 1,000 people work on the night, you know, from all the different departments, and that's not including the people on stage. And the fact that sort of enormous, call them sort of army of people come together to create something so extraordinary, it kind of makes me very proud that the team kind of pull that off, really.
It's a massive show.
It is enormous. I mean, it is the biggest awards ceremony in the UK in terms of the sheer scale of it. I'm not saying it's the biggest in importance, but it's the biggest in terms of scale, just because, you know, there's 500 people on stage and, you know, huge red carpet, et cetera, et cetera. And the scale of it is what makes it.
We were in the Albert Hall, which is the first time it's been in the Albert Hall. And I don't know about you, but I love the atmosphere in there. I think although it's huge, there's a sort of intimacy because it's almost in the round and people are really in amongst the action of it.
Well, I mean, the building is extraordinary. As I said on stage on the night, you know, the foundation stone was laid 150 years ago, almost to the day that we did the Olivier's. So it was built for classical music. And so it was built in a bit like a Roman Colosseum, an amphitheatre. So, you know, you have people on three or four sides, and we had them on three sides, just over three sides, you know. And we'd worked very hard set-wise to kind of bring the whole set out into the auditorium to kind of try and create something as intimate as we could within that huge space. And I'm pleased that seemed to work.
But I think you can. And when you have performers coming from within, as you did when you had the Women's Institute choirs coming at the very beginning amongst the audience, it makes people feel really close to the action, which they are.
Yes. I mean, there is almost not a bad seat in the Royal Albert Hall. And that's what makes it such an extraordinary space, I think.
Now, we can't go much further talking about it without mentioning Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which did... It sort of almost swept the board, really. It had record-breaking 11 nominations and won record-breaking 9 of them. Did you see that coming?
Yes, I think we did see... I mean, if we're being really honest, I think we did see that coming. I mean, I never predict results ahead of time, partly because I also know a little bit ahead of time. So, you know, we never talk about it at all. But I think, you know, once... In, you know, every kind of 10, 20 years, a production comes along which is so sort of extraordinary in the way that all the different elements come together. And I think Harry Potter was that show, you know, where... And for me, it's not a surprise it won all four creative awards in particular, because it's those kind of elements that come together to make the show so extraordinary.
And once it's won those creative awards, of course, then you think, well, it's also going to win Best Director, because it can't not if it's because they put together the creative team. And then it sort of snowballs into...
Yes, I mean, it was wonderful, though, to see some of the kind of the actors win, you know, and Noma Dumezwani, of course, you know, there was some controversy around her casting as Hermione, partly because in the film, of course, it was Emma Watson, and Noma is clearly very different. And, you know, there was some controversy around all of that, and how wonderful to see her walk away with the Olivier, her second Olivier, of course. Actually, she's won one before. But also Anthony Boyle, as Best Supporting Actor, who kind of, an unknown, and to walk away, it's kind of fantastic.
But didn't Noma make an amazing speech, I thought, she about was being a refugee? And,
absolutely,
you know,
absolutely wonderful. And, you know, the fact that it was her... huge front page picture of her in the Telegraph. Yesterday's double page spread in the Guardian, she takes centre of that as well. I mean, she's an extraordinary actress and a lovely, lovely person.
But there were also some great performances apart from just the awards on the night. I mean, Amber Riley, I think, really took
Amber Riley,
that.
You know, performers, the really great performers, I think, bring their A game when it really matters. And that's what makes them a real star. And Amber Riley brought that performance that night. I mean, to see, you know, 4,000 people, the entire Royal Albert Hall audience, stand to their feet. For they really kind of wanted to get up even earlier than they did. You know, the clapping had started with 45 seconds of the song to go, you know, for her. And, you know, that quicker standing ovation. I mean, you just don't, you don't see that these days.
No, you don't. And you don't see it at an awards ceremony
you
either.
You really
don't.
You know, you often see it sometimes for the special award winner. Not even that every year. But to have it, you know, so...
quite early on in the show, actually.
Very early on. It was 20 minutes in, you know. I mean, but to such a euphoric state. I mean, I was so pleased for her. She is absolutely wonderful and could not have been nicer through the whole rehearsal process and the whole setting it up and everything. And I'm just so pleased for her that she had that reaction.
Also, we had, well, the opening of the show, as I said, was a wonderful performance from the cast of Calendar Girls, as well as the real Calendar Girls, as well as the Women's Institute Choirs, and Gary Barlow, Tim Firth, of course. And the girls' musical just missed out.
Yes,
didn't,
it
didn't
did.
Come away with anything.
It did, yes, surprisingly, maybe. I mean, I think the six actresses who were up against Amber Riley, probably it was not going to be their year, I suspected. But... you know, Best New Musical, I think, could have gone to anybody, and it ended up going to Groundhog Day. But, you know, I think the girls did a wonderful performance. You know, that 270-strong kind of choir and cast all coming together. It was a really wonderful moment, I think.
They won't have done their ticket sales anyhow.
I hope not.
Sure.
I hope not, no.
But I suspect perhaps they came second in a lot of categories and couldn't quite
That's sometimes
get over
the way,
line.
I guess. Yeah.
And we talked about Noma's great acceptance speech, but I think my favourite acceptance speech was the kids from the School of Rock.
I know, weren't they wonderful? Weren't they grown up? I mean, that's the other thing. You kind of look at them and they're, you know, they spoke more eloquently and better than some other people, maybe.
They were so professional, weren't they?
And I thought Jason Manford's, you know, our host comment right at the end of their speech about his own kids was very funny as well. You know, but, you know, look, it's always great in a way when kids win like that. And it is extraordinary. You saw them on the night, the kids playing their own instruments, you know, live on stage. And they're kind of fearless. There they are in the, you know, the biggest sort of normal hall that we have in the UK, if you accept kind of the O2 Arena and stuff, you know, the biggest. They're utterly fearless. There they were on stage, you know, no nerves at all, just getting on with it. Yeah. It's kind of extraordinary.
And they're young as well. I mean,
very young.
Not,
yeah, they are. No, they're
not
youngsters.
Late teenagers.
No, they're young. Yep.
There was a great win for Billie Piper, I think, for Best Actress for Yerma. But now this is an interesting point. MTV are going to make their awards in the future gender neutral.
So
and
we hear.
I wondered what you thought about that. So, just to be clear, that would mean there would only be one best actor.
Best performance, say, for example.
That would encompass men and women. Yeah. And the same for all the awards, which would mean that there would be fewer awards, of course. And what would your take be? And what's your feeling
about that? haven't as a theatre community had a long conversation about that yet, I have to say. This was news, as you know, 3 or 4 days before the Olivier's took place. I don't get a sense currently, I'm not being lobbied heavily by the theatre community, that we should go down that route. I think it's very important that we celebrate all sorts of people. You know, the great news, you know, not only are we talking properly about colourblind casting, which we've been talking about for a while, but also some gender neutral casting. And, you know, Glenda Jackson was nominated as Best Actress, Lead Actress, but of course she played King Lear this year, and that was the role she was nominated for. I think it would be a shame, personally, if the danger of going down that route is, I just think, less people get awarded overall
for
extraordinary performances. And, you know, if the world was perfect, we'd have many, many, many more categories as well, but you just can't
also
do that. It's very hard.
I think if you added up, I haven't done the figure statistically, but if you added up the number of lead roles for women and lead roles for men, you'd probably find that there were fewer for women. Women would not do so well.
The historical canon, that's undoubtedly correct. And I'm not a scholar on the historical play canon in the UK, but, you know, you just look at Shakespeare and Marlowe and all of those. It's undoubtedly true there are more lead roles in that very historical canon of plays for men than women. And so I think that that would be a risk, undoubtedly. I hope nowadays that we, you know, playwrights are writing sensational lead roles for everybody.
Well, they are, as we've seen with Calendar Girls and
yeah, certainly in musicals, without doubt, you know. Amber Riley and Dream
Scottish
Girls
one.
And, you know. Oh, Our Ladies of Perpetual Sucker, yeah.
That's
I mean,
right,
you know, there
so
are many, there
lots
are,
of girls
you know,
in
which won Best New Comedy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are... There are huge roles in you know, the more modern stuff, but historically, and, you know, theatre is full of plays from many generations. I think that's probably right. Mm.
Now, it's a great showcase, of course, the Olivier's for West End Theatre. So do we see ticket sales? I presume they spike on the night and shortly
yeah,
afterwards.
Yeah, and shortly afterwards and around the TV broadcast. And it's also... It's not just for individual shows. It's a way of showcasing the whole industry, I think, for many different reasons. You know, this year we were broadcast heavily internationally. That only happened on Tuesday evening at the same time as the ITV show went out here. And, you know, at any one time on Tuesday night, there were 220,000 people watching at the same time, you know, because we can literally track it by the person, you know. So, you know, we're reaching a huge international community. And as we know, tourism is incredibly important for London and for London theatre. So it's about a long-term thing as well. This is an incredibly important industry. A lot of people work in it, you know, and part of this is about showcasing that and that enormous creativity.
And as I said, after Harry Potter kind of yeah. before the beginning, but then the musical awards got spread out fairly, you know, we had Groundhog yes. Day win, Jesus Christ Superstar won, School of Rock won.
And maybe it was that kind of year, you know, if we look at the Tonys last year on Broadway, I mean, Hamilton swept the board on the musical side and the plays was very spread. Here this year it was the other way around, and maybe that reflects the fact we've had quite a number of good new musicals and good revivals, and therefore it was right to spread them, you know.
Which is healthy, I think.
To spread them. And remember, you know, this year, just those shows eligible, we had more new musicals eligible than we've had for the last 6-7 years, you know. So, you know, we've had a lot of new product, if you like, new productions.
Yes, you just mentioned Hamilton. Now, Hamilton is coming to the West End. So does that mean next year Ruthie and I are going to go, oh, look, another award for Hamilton? Can you see that happening here?
Do you know, I have no idea. I think until it opens, I don't think anyone can predict anything. I continue to be amazed. You know, one part of me wants to say, yes, of course, it's going to win everything. But there are a lot of other amazing productions opening this year in the musical world. And, you know, we've just seen American in Paris open to 5-star reviews across the board, and that will be eligible as well. So I never want to make predictions this far out. You know, the year of eligibility is but sort of 6-7 weeks in, and we've got 52 weeks to go. So it's very hard to say. I mean, you know, I loved Hamilton. I've been very lucky to see it twice in New York. I think it's an extraordinary piece of theatre. It will be fascinating to see how British people really take to it. You know,
yes, exactly.
It's a story. It's a story about
over?
Another country.
Yeah.
I personally think it will translate brilliantly, but it will be interesting to see.
So now, Julian, you built up to this amazing night. Do you have some days off now?
A little bit over Easter, but you know, we're already working out next year. You know, we need to confirm venue and date and all sorts of things quite quickly. So we're already onto some of that and a few other exciting projects for later this year and early next. So, and you know, my main day-to-day role is to promote the West End and not just the West End, also the rest of UK theatre. So, you know, we were always busy doing that. And so it'll be great to be going on to doing some of those things.
And it's a big job, but I think it's in very safe hands.
That's very kind. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your programme on the night. It was fantastic.
Oh, well, we had a great time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Alice Arnold, and that was the Musicals and Theatre Podcast. If you enjoyed that, then you can hear me every Saturday and Sunday morning from 6 till 10 on Mellow Magic, where I've lots of lovely, timeless, relaxing classics, musical numbers, and interviews.